Joining us on the line now is Jana Brooke Wallach, whose debut novel Naked Girl has been named a semi-finalist for the 2024 Publishers Weekly Book Life Prize in Fiction. It's already won several indie book awards, and it spotlights a dysfunctional 1980s Miami Beach family in a stirring coming-of-age story. Though not autobiographical, it certainly reads like a memoir. It talks of the struggles of fitting in and the power of hope, humour, and imperfect love. Welcome to the Book So, Jana.
Thank you so much, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. And where did you get the idea for this novel from? As I say, it reads like it's autobiographical, but it's not, is it?
It does. And that there is like a really kind of organic reason why that happened, which was I was having a stay-at-home mom existential dilemma. I was having a crisis of brains watching children's shows and taking care of three babies day in and day out. And I needed something to keep the adult part of my brain from withering and dying. And so I thought, oh, I'll write some memoirs. And I did start writing some memoirs about my also kind of offbeat, but not nearly as offbeat as Sienna and Siddhartha's in the book, childhood growing up in Miami Beach in the 80s. And so I was writing kind of in first person about my own self. And quickly I realized, oh, wait, I love my family and I want them to keep loving me too. So I cannot write these things honestly. Not that there was some big secret, but just, you know, it's critical to write a memoir often, unless you're writing a memoriam. And so I stopped doing that. And I was like, well, what if I just write kind of a fake memoir and I use this setting and all and this time, but I make something else happen. And so I just started writing the book that way, but it really was kind of an exercise for fun and a hobby. And then I started realizing that it was interesting me and the story was going somewhere. So I started writing it as a book.
Yeah, great. So can you tell us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up in Miami Beach in the 80s?
Sure. So a lot of it was being Gen X, and any Gen Xers listening or baby boomers who are the parents of Gen Xers. And for those others listening, I'm sure you're sharing memes about it on social media all the time. I just saw one recently that said Gen X raised on hose water and neglect. And so as much as our parents loved us, worked hard and took care of us, the culture was to leave us to ourselves. We had working mothers. We had working fathers. We were out on our bikes. No one had a water bottle. You might have a canteen left over from summer camp, but you didn't bring it with you. Just drank from someone's hose. It was so we were in the streets. We were out. There was something on the news in the States, which was it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? That was legitimate. And we just, we ran amok in a great way and in kind of a dangerous way. And there was no cell phones. There was no life tracking or whatever that is called. And so there was that part. And then my part was, that was personal to me, was my parents divorced when I was very young. They were not the right people for each other. It wasn't a bad thing that they split, but I was a toddler and my brother was a toddler and my mother remarried my stepfather when I was 5 years old and my brother was 3 and a half. He had two girls who are my sisters and they had a baby together, our baby brother. So there were five of us in this step family, which was kind of conventional. And I went to elementary school during the week and I went to Hebrew school and I went to gymnastics class and youth group. And I did all of these conventional things and I ate Little Debbie's and I ate Velveeta macaroni and cheese. And then on the weekends, my dad was kind of seeking because he found himself married in the late 60s and never really figured out who he was. And he got a little hippie and he lived in a commune for a while. And he experimented with psychedelics and pot and like-minded seeking friends. And on the weekends, I was kind of hanging out with that. So it was a very dichotomous thing for me to go back and forth from being naked in a blanket, munching on an organic carrot at a farmer's market to being, you know, spraying my bangs high with Aquanet and trying to look like Madonna during the week.
Wow. And when you look back at your childhood, does it make you smile? I mean, do you look back with mostly fond memories?
I do. I look back on it very fondly. I've gone to therapy for all of the things that I don't look back on fondly, and we've all talked it out. But the rest of it was so, I love that I had two completely different worlds because I kind of wound up somewhere in between, and I got that choice where I feel like most people with only one family or even two families that are similar to each other, they have this one way of being. They learn this one way of being. And I got to be sort of, I got, it kind of broke the fourth wall for me. So I could see that there, it, I didn't take for granted that this was just the way families were. I had it so different.
Yeah.
I got to make choices. Yeah.
So tell us about your main character in Naked Girl.
Sienna Shiva Karma Jones is her actual name. And she is the product of, and this is not a spoiler because you find it out right in the prologue, her mother has overdosed and died at a very young age. And her father is this narcissistic seeker, very, very concerned with himself and his own grandness. And she is this very aware little girl, which I think we all are more aware as children than adults perceive us to be. We're taking in like sponges, and she is very conscious of the fact that they're different. She's very conscious of being an outsider, and she's almost obsessed with finding a new mother, creating a proper home for her and her brother, and fixing all of this insecurity and instability that she's going through.
Yeah. And did you enjoy writing her?
I love writing her. She's very similar to me in a lot of ways, in terms of that presentness as a child and sort of being almost a journalist as a child, taking notes on her surroundings and trying to figure out what to do with this mess she's in. And I feel for her because she's got a lot on her plate and she doesn't get to relax as a child. She doesn't get to just sort of run free screaming and spin till she falls down, the things that we all miss about childhood and that we say youth is wasted on the young. She's definitely that proves the rule that youth is wasted on the young, because she is trying so hard to manage and mother and figure out her situation. And it takes so much of her little energy and her mind that she's never really just letting it go and being free.
Mm. And does she have friends?
She does and she doesn't. She thinks of her little brother, who's only, you know, a year and a bit younger than her, as almost her charge, and her son almost, but he is her everything and her best friend. The two of them are very much a family. And then she makes friends in her, you know, her having friends or not is kind of a big part of the story. What she seeks for herself. She wants to have friends like she sees on Growing Pains and on The Facts of Life. She wants to have an 80s TV show family. And she talks about that. There's a lot of 80s references in the book. And what she has is her father, her brother, and the other cult members who worship her father as if he speaks directly to God.
Wow. And where does the title come from, Naked Girl?
The title has kind of a multiple meaning, as many titles do. She is physiologically naked in much of the book, and as are many people in much of the book, because the cult in the book has no issue with nudism. And also she is naked emotionally because she has no protections against the harshness of the world at the time. She's not being protected by parents and she's not being shielded. She's not having things made into bite-sized pieces and child appropriate ways to be given to her. So she's naked against kind of the weather too.
Yeah. And is the idea that people reading the book will kind of like her and feel for her and be rooting for her?
I do think so. I think they will love her, and they will love Siddhartha, and they will be very much rooting for them. And I think the journey of reading the book is following them and hoping for their redemption.
And did you have to do some research into cults and cult behavior and things?
Not too much, only because I'm already kind of fascinated by it. And so already have, I'll always watch any documentary or read any book about it. So I had I think I chose it because it's something that fascinates me and I have a lot of information about. And I think it fascinates many people. Even as we look at others and are fascinated by how they can be just swept up and so gullible, and yet we cannot necessarily examine ourselves and see how we are also swept up and gullible. And if we go deeper and think about ourselves, like, why do you want that handbag so badly? What does it mean to you? Why do you love your sports team so much, or your religion, or your school spirit? Where does that group love come from? And what do you get from society for being involved in it, or for wearing that handbag, or for cutting your hair in that way? That type of feedback that you get from other people, it's really the same thing, but just in a more extreme form in a cult.
Yeah, interesting.
That's why it's fascinating to me, because I think anyone is susceptible, depending on, you know, how much love or not you're getting, or how much validation or not you're getting from the world.
Yeah, for sure. That's a fascinating road to go down, I'm sure. Yeah. So what's next for you then? Are you deciding to write another book?
I am working on another book. It's wildly different and also so much the same. It's wildly different in that it is a much larger scope. It deals with American politics, religion, and social culture, but also it is still kind of a dysfunctional, family tight, claustrophobic story, even though it has like a much larger scope feeding into it. Yeah. I mean, it actually takes place in the not too distant future.
Okay, great. Well, if people want to get a copy of Naked Girl, it's out now and available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Jana Brooke Wallach, who we've been chatting with today. Jana, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to be here, and I hope to talk to you again.
That would be great.